What's Up Fandom Night, Episode 18, Must-See Star Trek Episodes. Hey guys, I know you're about to get your podcast on, so I'll be quick. If at any time you feel like dropping your own opinion into what we're talking about, head on over to FandomNight.com and all of the contact information for every single one of our shows, including the one you're about to watch, is there. Alright guys, I'll leave you alone.
This episode is hard for me. This episode is real hard for me. I'm not completely in 100% my right frame of mind, but I have to say something. We have to get up here and we have to say something. For those that don't know, Leonard Nimoy has died. He was most famous for his portrayal of, I guess I'll call him Captain Spock, which later was Ambassador Spock, and we won't get into all that. I'm here to give some suggestions. My idea here is we are going to run a type of marathon on the channel now. Fandom Night will, for the next probably 15, 20 videos, be the Leonard Nimoy as much Trek as we can possibly stand tribute. So as we do this, we're going to start it out here by saying, first off, I've done a couple Trek videos on my channel and a couple here. So yes, this is a big deal to me. And why Star Trek? Why Star Trek when Nimoy has, of course, done other things? Because he's been an actor, but he's been a writer, and he's been a doctor, and he's been a director, and he's done a lot of things, okay? So why just concentrate on Star Trek? Because of all the things that he has been a part of, nothing has been more significant than Star Trek. Star Trek has done things for us culturally and scientifically, and I can't stretch the importance of what Star Trek has done on multiple millions of levels, okay? So what I'm going to say is we're going to now go to the staff here at Fandom Night, and I'm going to have them make some suggestions, because I honestly think that if you've never given it a shot, if you've never tried it, I'm going to lay out some episodes for you, and I want you to actually give one watch, just try an episode, just give it a chance one time, not even for Star Trek's sake. You owe it at least to the memory of a man to say, I've at least watched one thing that he was in, and it was good. I understand why he had so many fans, okay? So I'm going to turn it now over to the other guys, and I'm going to give you some suggestions.
I didn't start watching Star Trek, the original series. I actually started on Next Generation, because that's what was on TV when I was born. I loved all of TNG, but without the original series, Leonard Nimoy, you know, DeForest Kelly, William Shatner, without those guys and the rest of the great team that was on the original series, we wouldn't have any of the other Star Treks. I did, thankfully, because of Bill, go back and watch a lot of the original series, and I have to say, which, ironically, I happen to be wearing the shirt of the episode I'm going to suggest out of the original series, Mirror. You get to see a slightly different variant of Leonard Nimoy as Spock, because it's more of a, I wouldn't say an evil parallel universe, but it's an evil parallel universe for all intents and purposes. You get to see a drastic change in the character without there actually being much of a change. That, and he has a beard, which is always kind of cool. But his acting ability on so many different things is going to be missed. His contribution to our entire society is going to be missed. So definitely give Mirror a shot. I believe it's in season 2. I don't remember which episode it was, though.
Hello. My first experience with Leonard Nimoy isn't exactly through Star Trek. It's through a documentary series that was made called In Search Of. However, my first time seeing him in Star Trek as the character Spock was on the motion picture, which isn't really the most popular Star Trek movie out there. However, that did lead me to the original series. Now, as far as my first recommendation as a tribute to Leonard Nimoy is his first directing of a Star Trek movie, and that is Star Trek III, The Search for Spock. And yes, it does take place after the second movie, The Wrath of Khan, and we have to now search for what we're guessing is Spock's body, and I guess bring him back home, because he got dumped out into space, well, space slash the Genesis planet.
Well, my first time with Leonard Nimoy is in Star Trek, but to be fair, I don't remember what episode, or if it was an episode or it was a movie that I was first introduced to him, but it was Star Trek nonetheless. And the episode that I'm going to recommend is The Doomsday Machine. Reason why is because, in my opinion, it's one of those episodes that you can see, even though we all know that Spock is half Vulcan, half human, it's one of those episodes that you can see that he wants to just slap somebody upside the head. And we all know that would be that Commodore Decker. Because of he coming on the Enterprise, taking it over as Kirk is on the other ship, because the other ship is busted, and they're going after this Doomsday Machine, which is this really long, weird-looking machine in space that destroys planets. And with the Kirk on the other ship, Spock is on the Enterprise as the acting captain. Then the Commodore Decker comes on the ship and takes over because he's the commanding officer, and he makes some dumb decisions. And I could see, even though Spock keeps his motions in check, you could see in his eyes that he just wants to slap this son of a bitch upside his head.
So, I've always been more of a Star Wars guy than a Star Trek guy. So it's kind of one of those things where, you know, Bill wants recommendations and everything, and I understand that Leonard Nimoy, he was an amazing guy. I mean, really was. You know, he was a writer, he did poetry, he did all the directing, he was an actor. He did an awful lot of stuff. If you remember our tribute to Harold Ramis, you know, once again, these guys do a lot of things. There's a reason why they're amazing. And the fact that, you know, even going back and watching some of it, now not a lot, because again, I'm not as big of a Trekkie as I am, you know, just a Star Wars fanatic, but even going back, I could see it in certain episodes. Like, the one that I want to recommend highly is the episode where you meet Spock's parents. I do believe it's called Journey to Babel. And it's one of those things where you finally meet his mother, you finally meet his father, you see that his father's, like, kind of a douchebag, but it comes from that whole Vulcan side of it, you know, where everything's all logical, no emotion. You see that his mother's highly emotional and everything, and you see that it's just a giant counterbalance, and Spock's kind of trying to fight with himself, but not so much, and he's trying to figure it out. And it's one of those really great episodes that develops the character so well that even with me not being as big of a Trekkie as most of the rest of the guys, even I know that's a great episode, and I would highly recommend it to everyone.
So, my first recommendation here is the Galileo 7. Why? Absolutely perfect moment for Leonard Nimoy, especially as Spock. One, we haven't really seen him completely in command yet. He's always got a bit of a safety net. Yes, he's capable, but to be fair, there's a reason he's a first officer. He hasn't quite got exactly what it's going to take yet. And that's interesting because it shows that for as great as Spock is supposed to be, there is still some fields of inexperience for him. They crash on a planet during an investigation and the Enterprise cannot find them. So there's a chance that they'll live the rest of their lives down there. They crash with about five other people and they need to get off the planet. Now, while Spock and Scotty try to fix this ship, all the other guys come under attack by these giant monster things that throw giant spears. And they impale one of them and everything. And he's like, oh my god. And he dies. And then right after that happens, they're trying to get off of there. And they're like, we need to bury this guy. And that is a really good moment for Spock because he's like, so go do it. And they're like, no, you don't understand. You're the commander here. You're the captain as of right now. You need to come with us and say a couple words about it. And he's like, I believe Dr. McCoy is better suited for this task. And he just goes right back to work. He doesn't even care. And they're like, you know what? You don't even care about us here. And then this question comes up, the one that really defines the rest of the episode. He says, I can get us off this planet, but I can't do it with the current complement. And he says, well, what's that about? And they reveal this bad moment. They say, two people have to stay behind. Who's going to make that decision? And Spock is like, I'll make that decision. And you could tell that he's already chosen two people to just leave on the planet to die. Bye. You're dead. Bye. And it doesn't matter to him. And that's interesting because it really shows the way that they think as compared to the way that we think. And Nimoy in real life would never be able to make a decision like that. He was a doctor. Honest to God. I mean, he was not the kind of guy that would be like, fuck it, kill those two. Like, it's really interesting to see this acting range where he's actually so blatantly cold, he's like, oh, there's a chance to get out of here? You two stay behind. And that whole episode escalates from that point, even coming to a point where Spock, at the last moment, kind of decides that he will stay behind and they won't let him do it. Excellent episode, definitely one you gotta see.
My second recommendation is gonna be Star Trek IV, The Voyage Home. Now, this was both a voyage home for both Leonard Nimoy's Spock and for the crew of the Enterprise, because they more or less sacrificed their own rank and position in Starfleet just to save Spock's soul. But then again, after the end of the third movie, Spock is more or less trying to recover himself, all of his senses. And one of the opening scenes, the last question that is asked of Spock, how do you feel? How do you feel? And he doesn't understand. Because he somehow didn't remember that he has part human in him. And then later on in the movie, his father asks if he wants to tell anything to his mother for him. And he's like, tell her I feel fine.
Now, out of the original series cast members, there was only three of them that actually showed up in The Next Generation in the actual TV episodes. Two others of them showed up in the first Star Trek Next Generation movie, Generations. But out of the original series, you had DeForest Kelly, who played Admiral McCoy in the pilot episode. You had James Doohan replaying Scotty in the episode Relic. And then Leonard Nimoy came back and played Ambassador Spock in a two-part episode called Unification. It was season 5, episode 7 and 8. I'm going to let you know now, if you do end up watching Unification, make sure you watch part one. Leonard Nimoy does not show up till near the end of the episode, but if you miss out on the first part of the two-part episode, you're going to lose a lot of meaning for the entire episode. It's basically Leonard Nimoy going on to Romulus, trying to help the underground resistance that is trying to push to go back to reuniting with their Vulcan brethren. Because if you know anything about Star Trek, Romulans and Vulcans, basically the same race, just some Vulcans went off that way and they evolved differently, and they like their emotions, where the Vulcans are like, fuck emotion. So it was kind of nice actually seeing that, even after all the years, after he was pretty much done with Starfleet, Spock's character was still trying to do betterment for large chunks of the galaxy / universe, especially with his basically cousins that for his entire life they were basically alienated.
All right, my second recommendation is the second movie, Wrath of Khan. Now, Wrath of Khan is one of the best out of the Star Trek movies. My second favorite one, but one of the best nonetheless. It's a very emotional movie. Now, if anybody knows who Khan is, Khan was first introduced in the original series episode, Space Seed. Now, seeing that will explain a lot. When you watch the movie, you'll understand Khan's motives more if you see that episode. But this movie brought Khan back. He took a Starfleet vessel and was going after Kirk. Well, what made this movie great and emotional was the fact at the end of the movie. The movie's been out for a long time, so I'm sure anybody who's a Star Trek fan knows what happens at the end of this movie. It was the biggest shock because Khan's ship hits the Enterprise. They've got radiation leakage down by the engine, I believe. I'm not too familiar with the whole ship thing, but be fair, Spock went down there to take care of it. Well, Spock being Vulcan can handle the radiation more than the a human can. So he goes in there to basically try to do what he can to fix it. Being exposed to all that radiation, even as a Vulcan, was still too much. And it really showed his human side, his emotion, as he lays there, him and Kirk between the glass, them talking, and finally Spock passing away. It was really emotional, and it was a huge shock, I'm assuming, to anybody who went to see this movie in theaters. And at the end of the movie, the funeral, putting him in a torpedo. What they do in space for a funeral, shoot him into space in a torpedo. This, they shot him into the Genesis, which, as you know what Scott told you before, starts the search for Spock. But what made this movie emotional was Spock's death. And it showed Spock's emotional side, his human side. And it was great acting, in my opinion, on not just Spock's, not just Leonard Nimoy, but all the cast. It's one of the best movies in the Star Trek legacy. So that's my recommendation. So go see it.
All right, I'm going to go ahead and finish this off. I have formulated a list of what I believe should be seen. So give me what I got.
The City on the Edge of Forever.
City on the Edge of Forever is absolutely brilliant. It's massively brilliant sci-fi. In fact, it actually earned awards all the way back then. You can go ahead and look that up. It's an amazing story about going back in time, and they change one little thing. The accident leads to a woman called Edith Keeler, and she is meant to die. Since she doesn't die, Starfleet is never formed. Humanity never comes together because her views were too far ahead of their time. And Edith Keeler must die.
Space Seed.
Space Seed. We offered the world order. I've talked about this before. Khan is one of the biggest things in Starfleet history. He's absolutely huge. You can't deny it. And his impact leads to the second movie, as was already talked about before by the other cast member, Mr. Macri. So, I would just like to say, Space Seed. There's only a couple moments I could really point out here, but it's not needed. Just to say 100%, you gotta see it. I'm sorry. That's all there is to it.
The Menagerie Part 1 and 2.
The menagerie is incredibly important, especially to Spock's character in general. The menagerie works like this. Captain Christopher Pike comes across an accident that cripples him for life. He will never again be able to communicate or do anything with anybody. And because of that, there is a massive sorrow that hits our Vulcan friend. And he goes against everything, throwing away his future, his very life is on the line here. He gives up his future, his career, his life, everything, and says, this man needs a chance to live. He's my friend. I'll see to it. And he goes against everything that he's ever believed, and he takes this man where this man was not supposed to be, possibly losing his career. But his example leads to the third movie because of his actions that day. This allows the crew in the third movie to say, there's a chance that my friend can live. And they threw away their careers, their future, their very lives, just for the chance that Spock might continue.
Charlie X.
Charlie X is an absolutely awesome episode. It's not so much a Spock episode. It's more along the lines of a Kirk episode. But still, it's worth seeing because you get to see how no bullshit Spock is. Where they're like, but Spock, he's just a kid. Spock is like, I don't care what he is. If you don't take the opportunity to destroy him right now, we may never get the chance.
The Naked Time.
Naked Time. biggest event in all of Naked Time, especially for Spock's character, is the moment of crying. Spock goes into a room by himself, sits on the table, and they pan the camera around him in a circle. Now, there was no budget for the original show, and on top of no budget, this was not a written scene. The original scene called for Spock to walk out of the turbo lift, and a happy little ensign was supposed to skip down the thing, and he had a little paintbrush, and he was supposed to paint a mustache on Spock, and Spock was supposed to cry. And Nimoy was like, I really don't see the impact of this scene, so give me a shot here. He says, put me in a room, give me a couple scientific terms, and let me do my thing. And he had a breakdown in the middle of the room. I'm in control of my emotions. And he freaked out, he sat on the table, he cried, the camera panned around, tears are going, bam, it was an instant scene, it only had one shot, and it really showcased what was possible, not just for Nimoy's acting abilities, but his writing and directing prowess as well, this early on in his career.
The Trouble with Tribbles.
The Trouble with Tribbles is hilarious. Watch it.
What, not going to mention the little talk between him and McCoy?
Hilarious. Watch it.
The Tholian Web.
Tholian Web is awesome. A lot of the science idea, how they get trapped in these stupid ships, that they weave this, like, electric, photonic, well, I don't know what it is. It's a friggin' web of lasers, okay? And then he's like, we gotta get out of this web of lasers, and they find a way out. It's pretty sweet. I know I'm not explaining it nearly as much as I should, but it's a damn good episode.
The Cage.
Cage is the original pilot episode of Star Trek. This sets so many different things in motion, but one thing that's interesting is you see a different Spock. It was younger Spock, and he hadn't quite purged himself of emotions yet, so he smiles, he laughs, he gets angry, but he's still very scientific. There's a moment where they say, you know what, we should just fire on the planet. Blow the whole damn mountain up and go down there and take our man back. And he says, I have bad news for you. Their power is so great that if we go down there and assume that we can poke around as we like, we may find their power to be so severe that they could reach up with their imaginary hands and swat this ship as though it were a fly. And it's not something you want to be a part of. Is that my list?
No, we got one more. One more. Movie number 6, Final Frontier.
Final Frontier. Spock's pain. The witnessing of Spock's birth and the fact that his dad was like, so human. He's like, get that pink piece of shit away from me. Like, it's so bad. But it's a tragically painful moment. And it was also interesting to see how, oh my god, look at that. I actually went to the wrong movie because I forgot to put one in here. The Undiscovered Country is what I'm talking about. It was interesting to see Spock's brother.
Oh.
It was interesting to see the kind of like love-hate relationship. Even though they didn't quite hate or love each other, there was like this weird, there.
We were actually wrong. Number 5 is Final Frontier. 6 is Undiscovered Country.
That's fine. Listen, see these last two movies. Here's why. The last movie is incredibly interesting because it showcased Spock's ability at command. Command was a big thing for him throughout the entire course of the series, and he was made a captain in the second movie, but you never really got to see what came of that because he went right back to being a first officer. And it's interesting that when Kirk is removed from the ship, it's up to him to run everything, motivate the people, get the captain back, and stop the presidential assassination, because Red Foreman must not die. So, look guys, that's all I could possibly give to you right now, and stay tuned, because these videos are going to keep on going.
Hey guys, did you like that podcast? If so, remember to check out FandomNight.com. At FandomNight.com, you can drop a line to this show, or you could check out other podcasts as well. We cover all kinds of topics, everything from comic books, wrestling, movies, TV shows, video games, animes, mangas. It's outrageous. We seem to have a podcast for just about everything, and you have access to it just by going over to FandomNight.com. So check it out, guys. We're going to get out of here.